You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program this hour of New Hampshire Now, brought to you by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. In this segment of the show, presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's unique in New Hampshire. More information, check out rathlaw.com. Joining us right now on the program, Democratic presidential candidate and U.S. Senator from California, Kamala Harris, here on New Hampshire Now. Senator Harris, how are you?
I am well. It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Awesome. Appreciate you joining us for the show. So the last time we spoke, your campaign was rising. It seemed like you were ascending towards the nomination. I'm curious as to how you see your campaign right now and kind of the ebb and flow of this process.
Well, I mean, you said it, Chris. The process involves ebbs and flows. And I'll tell you, I have learned over with good experience that it is not wise to kind of go on the roller coaster of polls
right.
and rise and fall with those. It's about steady, consistent, hard work, and that's what at the end of the day makes all the difference, and it produces a winning campaign. And so that's what I'm doing. We've been building up our incredible staff in New Hampshire and the other primary states who are working hard. We are on the ground organizing folks. There's so many people who have been coming to our events who have never been involved before. We have what we've named Camp Kamala, and we are training people on how to organize voters and get them registered to vote. And it's all very exciting. I'm really enjoying the process, and it's one day at a time and steady.
What do you see as being your roadmap to the nomination? In my view, the early primary states are so, so important. And either needs to be, in my view, a win or a close second if a candidate is going to have a real chance of the nomination going into Super Tuesday in either Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, or Nevada. I mean, what is your roadmap to the nomination? Do you agree with that you have to win a state or get close to second? It seems like you're focusing heavily on Iowa at this point.
Well, what my campaign has said publicly, and it's because this is our strategy, is that we need to come out in the top three. And, the reality of it is that of the top three polling candidates, that each one has been on the national stage for decades, actually. And so the challenge for my campaign is that we are introducing ourselves to people. But the great news is that all of the polling also indicates that 70%, as many as 70% of the voters, are undecided, which
yes.
means that even right when they are familiar, they've not committed. And that is I believe, a great advantage, gives us a great advantage that there are a lot of people who are undecided, and the hard work that we need to do then is introduce ourselves. I'll tell you that my whole mission and lane, if you will, on this campaign is I believe justice is on the ballot, and the issues that are waking people up in the middle of the night around our country are exactly that. Not only are people gravely concerned about the state of our democracy and the fact that, frankly, we have a lawless president, but the issues, fundamental issues of justice, such as economic justice, when almost half of American families can't afford a $400 unexpected expense, when 30 million people in our country are without health care, when we have seniors taking buses to Canada to buy the prescription drugs because otherwise they're making critical decisions about whether they fill their prescription or fill their refrigerator. We are facing issues of justice that are about reproductive health care and women's access to reproductive health care. Educational justice, when we look at the fact that 94% of public school teachers come out of their own pocket to pay for school supplies, and so many of them are working two and three jobs in order to pay the bills, but they have a passion and a calling for being educators. These are fundamental issues of justice. And what I'm finding is that traveling throughout New Hampshire and the other primary states, that these are the conversations people want to have. When they show up at town halls, they're not asking, hey, the thing that keeps me up at night is this whole debate about socialism versus capitalism.
Right.
What they're talking about are fundamental issues that are, kitchen table issues, and those are the issues that I address. And I think that this is a moment in time, again, where we have to understand that America this country that we love has not done so well in supporting working families, and we need to address that. We also need to address the fact that we need someone on that debate stage who can successfully prosecute the case against 4 more years of Donald Trump. And frankly, perhaps a bit immodestly, I'd say that I think it's going to take a prosecutor to do that, and I believe I have the ability to do that. But I'll also say, Chris, that that fundamentally in this moment, we also need to recognize that we are exhausted. People are exhausted. And we have had so many powerful forces that have been trying to sow hate and division and have Americans turn on each other. And I believe it is critically important that we heal and heal around the fact that we, the vast majority of us, have so much more in common than what separates us, and so we must unify as a country. And that's part of the reason I'm running, to, one, deal with these issues of justice, but also to unify our country.
I think one of the strongest arguments for your candidacy is how articulate you are and the ability that you have to prosecute the case against Donald Trump. And you look back at your biggest moment, perhaps, in the process so far, and that was on the debate stage of Joe Biden, where you were able to really show, in my view, what it would be like if you were to debate Donald Trump. Do you feel, though, that there is a need for you on the debate stage to start prosecuting the case in an artful way with your opponents in order to regain some momentum? And would that be, you know, a strategy of yours going into the next debate in November?
Well, I think that there's no question that there are differences between us on policy, and those should be debated. That is the point of that process when it has merit. But I have also taken a vow for myself that I'm not going to attack, nor will I support, Democrats attacking one another. Mm-hmm. That's not in the best interest of, I don't think, anything, frankly. And so, so that's how I feel. But certainly we're getting to a point that voters are starting to pay more attention, and they are looking at what are the contrasts, how are they going to compare candidates. And I'm prepared to make my case. I'm prepared to make my case again that this is a fight for justice. I'm prepared to make my case on something like health care, and this is a point of distinction between me and some of my colleagues on the debate stage. I have a Medicare for All plan, but it does not take away people's choice around private coverage, because mm-hmm. I heard from so many people and said, Kamala, we want to have our choice, and, mm-hmm. and many of us want to keep a private plan, or we want a private plan. Don't take that choice away from us. So that's the difference between me and other supporters of a different Medicare for All plan. So there will be distinctions, and I think also as the stage narrows, and God willing, I'm on that stage. I think that the comparisons will be more obvious. But ultimately, we have to be unified as a party.
I want to ask you about Medicare for All in regards to Elizabeth Warren, where it seems like to me, and maybe it's just the climate right now, and there's such this focus on impeachment. But it seems that when you would have a miscue or Joe Biden would have a miscue, that there was this hyper focus on what took place, but particularly on this issue. And Elizabeth Warren has been really unwilling to answer exactly how she's going to pay for Medicare for All. And you look even at Bernie's plan, Bernie's been pretty transparent about it. There's still a significant amount of money that's unaccounted for, as you well know from reading the legislation. Do you feel that Warren has been given perhaps too much of a pass, given her front-runner status, on the fact that she has not been able to answer this question?
I mean, I think that there's no question that everyone has to answer. And I certainly have, to your point, been asked a lot of questions about where I stand, and I am prepared to answer all of those questions in detail and answer them directly, and each candidate should be able to do that. There's no question about that.
In conclusion, because
especially on an issue like health care, it's such a fundamental issue in terms of, the issues that wake people up in the middle of the night. I mean, Chris, I can't tell you the number of people I've been meeting who are telling horror stories that range from a first grade teacher I met recently, and she has a high school daughter. They have formed a group called Mamas for Kamala. And the first grade teacher, insurance, health insurance for her family of four would cost $1,300. She cannot afford it if she has no health insurance. Right?
Yeah.
The people I've met who have family members, especially senior family members, who are stretching their prescriptions because they can't afford to renew it, to the point that they're not taking the medication as directed, right, as frequently as they need to. And then they go into a health crisis, which means that they plateau to a much lower level instead of remaining steady. It's really outrageous. And so the healthcare issue is really one of the most important matters of justice. The way I think about it is there are three essential functions of government: public education, public safety, and public health. And on this issue, anybody who is running for president, anyone who plans to lead our nation, must take a role of leadership and understand the details of what is involved to address the issue.
In conclusion, you referenced prosecuting the case against President Trump, and you're going to be potentially, most likely, a juror on the case of President Trump in the United States Senate. I'm curious as to what you sense from your Senate colleagues on the Republican side and their willingness to perhaps remove Donald Trump from office. And do you feel that there is a likelihood or chance that he is not the Republican nominee?
Well, we'll see. I mean, what I am seeing, Chris, is that I'm seeing Republicans show up at my events. And they are there, you know, when they talk to me. There aren't a lot. I don't want to misinform you, but they, you know, and many of them are coming because their daughters are bringing them. But what they're talking about in terms of why they are there is that they feel that we need to restore the integrity of our government and our rule of law and our democracy. And the impeachment process is a big part of fighting for that, right? And making sure that we are true to the intention of our framers of our Constitution, the founders of our nation, which is that there will be checks and balances whenever there is an abuse of power by any branch. And I think that, what we'll see in terms of the Republicans who speak up, we'll see. Sadly, over the course of the 2.5 years I've been in Washington, it's been rare. And those who speak up don't run for re-election. Or there is, of course, the late, great hero, John McCain. But I haven't seen many displays of courage when it comes to my Republican colleagues' ability or willingness to speak out publicly against Donald Trump. They do roll their eyes in private, but I don't know what's going to happen about any public rebuke.
Senator Harris, appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you back in New Hampshire when you file for the primary on November the 7th, and we'll talk again soon.
I look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you. Take care.
You as well. U.S. Senator, Democratic presidential candidate, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. This hour, the program presented by New England College, as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. And that segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli and rathlaw.com.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.